All right, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I wanted to do something a little bit different than what I've been doing lately. I've been doing the book reviews and, of course, the sanctification, devotion to God. I wanted to break away from that and talk a little bit about some things that are practical, particularly for young men. I have the privilege of raising a son. He is now 15 years old. And we get to spend a lot of time together, time that I really appreciate, much like when I was growing up, the time that I spent with my dad. It looked a little different, but it was time with my dad nonetheless, and it was important, and I'll be sharing some of that experience in this podcast, and most likely in the podcasts to follow, because this will be on the subject of young men, thoughts for young men, and this is a springboard off of J.C. Riley. Book, but I've got my own commentary that I want to add to it. So I'll basically just be using the shell from Riley and then adding to it. But there's a couple of things that I wanted to cover that I think are important, just to kind of get people in the right frame of mind. First of all, dads, you have a responsibility to lead by example. And in the context of a Christian home, to make sure that you are consistent in your walk with the Lord. To make sure that you are getting your family to church and to encourage your children to read and study the Bible and to teach them, you know, the principles, morals, ethics, spiritual things from the Word of God to your children. You are also to take responsibility for your home, and that is certainly something that has fallen by the wayside. I was watching a clip on Instagram. It was of Doug Wilson. I don't follow Doug Wilson. I don't listen to anything by him. I don't know much about him in terms of his background other than he's reformed. And this particular clip I listened to with great interest because he was talking about personal responsibility. That is a huge problem today. People do not want to take personal responsibility. It's the name blame. It's everybody else's fault. It's the pastor's fault. It's my neighbor's fault. It's my mom's fault. It's this person's fault. If you create a problem, you don't get to claim victimhood. You have to accept responsibility for it. And the point that he was making was that if your wife spends the credit card money, you know, just really just blows the credit cards out and exceeds all the limits, she's at fault for doing that. She's at fault for doing that. But as the husband, it's your responsibility to make sure that that doesn't happen. So now put that in the context of the home. As a parent, as a father, as a dad, you have a responsibility for your children. Sure, they may go off the beaten path, get themselves in trouble. It's going to be their fault. It's their sin. But you have a responsibility as a dad while they're under your roof to apply corrective action. Now, he goes on to say, and give what he gave the comparison to Christ, right? So we sin, that's on us, but he took the responsibility for us on the cross at Calvary, the just dying for the unjust. So in the context of giving counsel to our young people, dads have a big responsibility. Now, don't get me wrong, I understand full well the role moms play, and I'm going to cover that at some point. But for now, I really want to just pin it on the dads and let them accept this responsibility for raising their children in a godly home. From a biblical perspective, what's the Bible say? Proverbs 22, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And then we jump over to Ephesians. We can do Colossians 2. We go to Ephesians. And this is in the lap of the children. Ephesians chapter 6 says this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now watch, verse 3, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on earth. Now I would be doing an injustice here if I stopped, but I'm going to read verse 4 because I think it is important. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It rests in your laps, dads. It is in your corner. It is your responsibility. Now, I understand somebody's going to push back on that and say, well, dads work. Dads are away. You were given a helpmeet, were you not? You were given a wife, were you not? Take her aside and give her instruction as to what you would like these children to learn. Provide the materials if she doesn't have it. Give guidance, give instruction. That's the role of a helpmeet, to be in a supporting role to the husband corporately, fulfilling the vision and the goals that you both have for yourselves and for your family. Now, what's the backside of that? And this is what I wanted to add to this before we get to the main part of this lesson. What's the potential if we fail on our part? And here's the thing, I'm just bringing this in here. I could bring a number of texts in on this, but these are some things that Christians are told not to do. And I'm putting this in the context of the potential for our young people. By the way, look at our young people today in the world. They're lacking good instruction. They're lacking discipline. They're lacking religion, true religion. They got a religion. It's a worldly one. It's a secular one. It's not a right one. It's not a godly one. It's not Christ-like, and it's not biblical. It's a beast is what it is. It's a monster, and it's out of control. And that pressure from the culture is going to be felt by your young people. Your sons and daughters are going to be going into schools and workplaces and into, you know, the highways and byways. And I understand, love not the world. You know, love not the world, but we are in the world, but not of the world. But anyway, going back to this, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now, verse 6 says this, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Now, let me, I don't want to spend a lot of time expounding all the nuances of these texts. You don't want your children to be under the wrath of God, to be considered children of disobedience. So, as parents, we want to make sure that we give them the best possible instruction in our homes and also in a church. You want to make sure your church is teaching sound doctrine and good practical teaching from the Bible that will help your daughters and your sons to grow up to be the godly men and women that He intended for them to be. And the Bible is very clear on that. So what do we do? How do we proceed from here? This little book, I dug off my bookshelf. I forgot I had it, actually. And I thought, you know, there's some good practical stuff in here, so I think I'll put it together for a podcast. I'm just going to do part one today, and I don't know if I'll have time tomorrow. I've got a busy schedule tomorrow. We'll try to get it done. So I'm going to go through. There's like five or six of them, and I'm just going to loosely use the outline he has. He has a lot to say about each one, but I'll add to it as I go. So the first one is, in the first place, what are the general reasons why young men need peculiar exhortation? Why do young men need exhortation? Do I even have to explain that? I remember growing up, and this is one of my stories, my life, my childhood stories. My church folks seem to like it when I tell these stories. But my tendency was always to rebel. My dad was a strict disciplinarian. He had no problem taking off the belt and getting to work, and he did that many times. But he also didn't have a problem loving. We lived in a home, while certainly not rich, we lived in a home that did have structure. There were certain things that you just didn't do. And he knew what our tendencies were. And so he set those things in place, and then he enforced them. In other words, if you had chores, he enforced that. There was no option. If you were to mow the grass, for example, which was one of my chores, and you mowed the grass, unless it was raining or something happened to the lawnmower or whatever, you got out there, you mowed the grass. If you were to do the dishes, then you did the dishes. There wasn't no argument. And my sister, she always argued about doing stuff, but he always won, of course. Structure, exhortation. Kids need to be told what to and not to do. They need structure in the home. It's okay to say no. It's okay to give guidance. It's okay to redirect. You need to do that. The other problem with children is they're growing up without religion. Now, parents today are claiming Christianity. They're claiming to know Jesus. And, you know, they got a Bible at home, but they don't go to church. No church. Essentially, no religion. Because really, the bulk of our religion is more than just what we get in the home, but it's what we get in the church. It's when the family corporately sits under the preaching and teaching of God's word and is instructed, encouraged, and corrected, learning and growing, and then seeing others doing the very same thing, modeling ourselves after our peers, modeling ourselves after respected men and women that are in the ministry and saying, I want to do that. I want to be like that. This is what I want to do. This is the right thing to do. There's a very lazy approach to Christianity today that says, we don't need it. We can watch it on YouTube. That's not church. And don't get me wrong. I watch plenty of YouTube videos that are very spiritual and doctrinal in nature. The reality of it is in church. It's being with people, around people, and engaging people on a spiritual level. It is important to be sitting under the preaching and teaching of God's word. The young men today are growing up in homes without religion. I grew up in a home without religion. My dad was not a spiritual man at all, but he was principled. And again, he enforced house rules, and it were just things that were just off the table that were not an option. And you didn't argue with him either. That's just the way it was. These kids today run the house. Dads, your kids can't run the house. You have to take control of your home. It's for the sake of unity in the home and structure, but it's also healthy for mom too. You know, some of you may remember this. I don't know what the parameters of my audience are. I tell some young people this, they don't even know what I'm talking about, but some of the older folks would understand. My mom would always say, wait till your dad gets home. Well, you have no idea the terror those words struck in my heart when she said that. And I would do everything that I could do to get her to recant on that. Sometimes she did, other times she didn't. And of course, dad would enforce house rules. Dads have to set the parameters for the children. The children run their homes today. You go into a supermarket and you look at these seven-year-olds telling their moms and dads off, throwing things off the, you know, shelves onto the floors, throwing temper tantrum. If we ever did that growing up, you know what my dad would say? You want me to give you something to cry about? That's what he'd say. And he'd give you something to cry about. There's no discipline today. There's no discipline. There needs to be discipline. The other thing that he talks about is death and judgment. Death and judgment. And here's the thing. When I was a young teenager, when I first got my license, I did a lot of crazy things in my car, racing up and down the roads, doing stupid things, thinking, you know, I'm young, invincible, the whole thing. Reality is this: death and judgment are before young men, even as others. They forget that. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die. There are no age restrictions on death, my friends. Your children, those young men that you have under your care in your home, you don't know what's going to happen from one day to the next. That's why they need exhortation. That's why they need religion. It's healthy for them to hear and to learn and to have a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember reading about Azahel Nettleton, and he was raised in a religious home under the Westminster Confession. They were Presbyterian. And he went through a little wild time in his life, but the thing that got him, he'd always go back to the training that he got. That's what brought the guilt. That's what brought the shame. That's what brought the conviction. The Word of God was embedded in him. And when he went through that strange period where he's sort of finding things out and finding his way to God, really, these things were constantly coming up and replaying. You know, that's why we put our children in good churches and raise them in a good home that's going to be able to teach them spiritual things. Our life is but a shadow, my friends. Then the other thing he brings up is this. He said, what young men will be in all probability depends on what they are now. And they seem to forget this. He said this, and I quote, youth is the seed time of full age, the molding season in the little space of human life, the turning point in the history of man's mind. Young men will be, in all probability, depends on what they are now. Deal with them now where they're at. Deal with the foolishness. Deal with the laziness. Deal with the, you know, the back talking and the foolish jesting and the rebellion and the disobedience. Deal with that stuff now, because all that our adversary is going to do is strengthen those things as he gets older. Just take a look at today's youth. That's the kind of thing that we have come to because there's no religious instruction. The other thing here, this is not long now, the other one, the devil uses special diligence to destroy the souls of young men, and they seem not to know it. Satan knows well that you will make up the next generation, and therefore he employs every art betimes, I'm quoting him, so he's using archaic language, to make you his own. I would not have you ignorant of his devices. If he can keep you in the loop of sin, he will. I've met plenty of young men, and young ladies, mind you, who are caught in sin. Go out and share the gospel. Go do an inner city street ministry. You'll see young men and young ladies, articulate, smart, full of potential, caught in a vicious cycle of sin, in and out of rehab, in and out of rehab, and no progress being made, taken captive by his will, that is to say, the will of Satan. Only the Spirit of God can set a person free. Get them some religious instruction that will help them to be set free from that. And then the last thing he brings up, and I think this is an excellent point. Young men need exhorting because of the sorrow it will save them to begin serving God now. He goes on to say, sin is the mother of all sorrow, and no sort of sin appears to give a man so much misery and pain as the sins of his youth. You know, look back, and sometimes you hear in conversation when you talk to people, I wish I never did that when I was younger. I wasted so many years of my life. What if I was saved at 17 as opposed to 27, as is the case with me? You know, that's 10 years. That's 10 years gone that could have been used to serve the Lord and glorify him. Gone. It's never coming back. Never coming back. These are things you want to think about with your children going forward. And think about in particular with your sons. Teach them the Word of God. Teach them spiritual disciplines. Be faithful yourself to church and be faithful in bringing your children to church. And also, going back to what I started this podcast with, teach them to take responsibility. Too many people want to pass it off to somebody else or blame somebody else for their... If you make a mistake, own it. Just own it. And that there is the way that a young man should be encouraged in these things. There's much more if I have time tomorrow, record it, but I don't think I will. Maybe on Friday I'll do the second one. But anyway, just some words, and I hope it's an encouragement to you. And I'm going to sign off. Have a great rest of your day. Bye now.